This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Kicking toward the north end zone at Soldier Field. 3 for 3 on the day. 10 seconds to go. Parkey lines it up. O'Donnell on one knee. Gives him a look. Extends his right arm. Scales sends it back. Placement made, kick by Parkey from 43, and it hit the upright. It is no good on the crossbar. And the Eagles are celebrating here at Soldier Field.
By rule,
43 yards, no good. 16-15. Hit the left upright.
Philadelphia's ball. First down at the 33-yard line.
I haven't been on social media or anything like that.
Smart man.
Yeah, so a lot of good can come from it and a lot of bad can come from it. But at the same time, I've gotten a lot of positive messages. Like I said earlier, I feel worse than anybody about missing that kick because I wanted to make it more than anybody. But, you know, at the end of the day, I'm just going to hold my head high. And when things aren't going my way, I'm just going to continue to think positive and keep swinging.
Thank you for that highlight, Eli. We all had to relive that a week later because we didn't know that the kick did not,
in fact, just in case anyone missed it.
Just to make sure that we remembered that it hit off the left, upright, off the crossbar and bounced back into the end zone and not towards Staley or towards the stands and through the uprights for a victorious game-winning kick. Unfortunately. Welcome back in. Nick Szczepkowski, Anthony Heron with you. 670 The Score. 670thescore.com is what you have. We're taking you up until Chargers and Patriots pregame starts today. 11:30 on The Score. That, obviously, Cody Parkey misses the kick that we discussed at length last Sunday. It'll be continued to be discussed and it'll be remembered by Bears fans until the day they die. I hated the fact that he went on the Today Show. Mm-hmm. I clear cut.
You were not alone.
Could not stand the idea of it. And it's not so much like, oh, well, let him live his life. Yeah, let him live his life. I'm totally, the people that are threatening lives and, oh my God, Cody Parkey can rot in hell and all this, get a life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there is, as hard as it is for some to understand, like, there are more important things in the world than your favorite NFL football team. Like, it's hard to get through some of the noggins that are out there, but that's true. But with that said, everyone in that locker room.
However.
Every single soul in that locker room said the exact right thing about the guy.
Yeah.
Oh, we have his back. 10 times out of 10, kick that ball, and you feel good about your chances with Cody. They did it after the game, immediately after the game on Sunday. Every word you heard said to the press was positive about their kicker. Oh, we believe in him. Tough luck. Da-da-da-da. All of that. Full support. Matt Nagy. I mean, goes as far as saying, yeah, can't wait for him to be back next year. Says all of the right things. That's immediately following the game.
We'll see how he phrases that tomorrow. But yes, he did say, yeah.
And then, ultimately, no other Bears out doing media appearances. Allen Robinson was on this radio station. That's a paid spot that he does each week. He did on Tuesday. Other than that, I don't remember a Bear being in the media whatsoever about any of it. Like, I don't remember, say, Khalil Mack. I don't remember him going on Good Morning America saying, oh my goodness, if I just would have gotten to Nick Foles quicker a couple of the times on that last possession, then it never would have gotten to fourth and goal at the 1 or 2 yard line, and Golden Tate would have never caught that ball. I don't remember him going on and making something about himself there. I don't remember Mitch Trubisky seeking out local media 2 days after the game, 3 days after the game, to remind them, oh, my foot or my ankle was beat up during that, and hey, man, I'm really heartbroken that I wasn't healthy enough to play my best game for 60 minutes and lead this team to victory. Oh, I'm really upset at myself for not being able to get Cody Parkey 10 yards closer and be able to have an easier field goal attempt, that maybe the trajectory of the kick wouldn't have come down as low. Like, you didn't
Eddie
have
Jackson
any...
didn't go out. Like, I wish my return
right.
of that A-Rod interception wouldn't have been so awkward that I turned my own ankle. Nobody went out there doing anything
individual. I'm not saying, right. like, go out and bash Cody Parkey for missing the kick and threaten his life. carry on with your life. That's fine. But don't draw more attention to it. Like, you went on the damn Today Show. Uh-huh. Like, you can't sit here and like, cry victim. Not that he necessarily was. So he stays off of social media, doesn't look at any of it, and that's fine and dandy.
Yeah.
But you can't play that side of it as well. And be, oh, well, victim of it all, but then be jumping in front of a camera at the same time. What was to be gained? What was the benefit of doing that?
Honestly, it's comical.
Here's what I,
great observation.
Right. Here's what I think was part of the thought behind it. I don't know Cody. I've never met Cody. I haven't talked to Cody. Here's my perspective on it. I do think, and one, actually, I'll say this, because I get to read what you write at times. I was thoroughly impressed with the way the entire article itself played out, because one, it was, you know, it's a fairly stark headline. Like, well, let me see.
Attention grabbing headline.
Yes,
or the tweet that the score sent out.
Yeah,
the
Cody Parkey, score sent out. Get off my TV, not off my lawn, but get off my TV. Very aggressive, very assertive, and it draws eyeballs to it. So I love that, and it did. It put me in the mindset of, well, man, okay, all right. Shep's really upset at Parkey, and my assumption from the way the headline came off was, you know what, Shep just doesn't want to see Cody Parkey, and you know, especially just reading the vitriol on social media, and talking to folks since the game last weekend. For the most part, there's a lot of just the Bears need to get rid of Cody Parkey. They're going to get rid of Cody Parkey, and I never want to see his damn face again. So that was the perspective I was viewing that headline from. Was Cody Parkey, get off my TV because I'm angry at you. So I think the headline itself, very well executed headline. And then within the article itself, there was actually more nuance, may be giving you too much credit. I want to use the word nuance, but there was certainly... Let's not go too far, but there were certainly
compliments
levels.
Compliments got to stop somewhere.
There were certainly levels to the way it was written, though. And the perspective that you actually took on the argument, I think, is a fairly right-minded one of the team has been about team throughout the entire year. And the case you just made here on the radio was along the lines of what you put in the article of you haven't heard... And for the most part, seeing individuals stepping out on their own, speaking about their successes or their failures to a large extent. And I think that's a fairly true observation of how the team's operated this season. Where I think this situation is different is because, one, it was the moment that ended the season. Well, it was, and as you've rightfully pointed out, it is not the only reason the Bears lost the other night, but it was the moment that ended the season for the Chicago Bears. Because of that, and... because he's a kicker, I do think the public reacts to the mistakes of specialists, kickers, punters, long snappers, whatever the case may be, reacts to the mistakes of those people in a different manner because they're more of a small part from a rep standpoint of how the game plays off. And I think that, you know, especially when you look at a guy like Cody Parkey, I think most people in the public feel like they can just punk a kicker, they can beat a kicker up. And I think there's something subconscious where people feel more comfortable talking tough about a kicker than they do about like a lineman or whatever. And I'm not saying this is you. I'm saying this is the overall public reaction to it.
One job in professional sports in terms of being an athlete that you probably think you could do.
And
right?
Most people think they can handle.
You're not going to go out and throw a 95-mile-an-hour fastball. You're not going to hit a 95-mile-an-hour fastball.
You're not going to jump over another human being to dunk a basketball.
Yeah, you're not going to do that.
You're not gonna forklift some 300-pounder to go sack a quarterback.
You're not just all of a sudden going to be 6'3", 325 pounds and be able to play on an offensive or defensive line. Like, that's not going to happen.
You look catch at a ball, kicker, return a kick, and run a 4-3 for a touchdown.
Yeah. You look at a kicker, and you're like, that's an average Joe.
I could probably
that
handle
could be
that.
Me. I could figure that
and
out.
And if I couldn't do his job, I could probably beat him up. Yeah. I think that's subconsciously where people view the category they put kickers in and why, when a mistake is made by a kicker, the vitriol that's directed at that person is enhanced versus what, and you know, a lot of guys, a lot of athletes in general and just public figures get their vitriol. I think people are quicker to it with kickers subconsciously, and this is my former psych major coming out of me. I think subconsciously there's part of that where people, because they're not intimidated by kickers, because they feel like, yeah, I'm not afraid of that guy, I could take that guy, I could beat that guy up, I could do that guy's job, they are more apt towards vitriol of that individual who they do not necessarily respect from an imposing physical standpoint. Those things being said, as it relates to your article, that's not the approach you took. Your approach was Cody Parkey was not having a team moment by going on the Today Show, where so many moments, the predominant moments in this season, had been about the team. So I dig that, and I was pleasantly surprised by that perspective within the article. So you had the salacious headline, and then the article itself was very thoughtful. It was like a think piece about why Cody Parkey was making a mistake, almost like a, not necessarily a marketing error, but just an error in execution of doing something like that on a national stage. But I feel like his situation is different than so many others, really than any others that we've seen from the Bears this season, because of the moment it happened in, because that was the moment that ended the season for the Bears, and because he's taken shots from all directions in a way that we didn't see any other Bear player have to take it. Like, Mitch Trubisky got plenty of flack throughout the season, but there wasn't the directed, laser-like, I'm going to use the term hatred of Mitchell Trubisky this year, because for Cody Parkey, I mean, there's a lot of Steve Bartman comparisons that got made directly after that game. The dude was taking heat. So for him, here's what I believe his perspective on going on the Today Show was. One, it wasn't his idea. It was NBC's idea. Two, it was that block of the show that was all about football. So where the idea comes from, why it fits into that section, there was a lot of talk of all the NFL playoff games that were going on. Cody Parkey was the biggest story of the weekend coming out of it. And the game was, of course, on NBC. And part of this, actually, the whole block of the show being a football block, I didn't even recognize that because I was on the air on my morning show, and I just kind of recorded the Cody Parkey segment.
Yeah, I don't normally watch the Today Show, but they had like the tailgate foods of the whatever the heck it was.
Yeah, my wife pointed that out. Philly, like, yeah, they actually did a full football hour. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah. So that's part of why having Cody Parkey on,
but
even
he doesn't
just
have
fits
to say yes to the interview.
Show. He does not have to say yes to the interview.
Just
but
NBC calls doesn't mean you have to pick up the phone and say, "I'll be on the next private jet that you're sending my
Very
way and
true.
Putting me in New York."
100% accurate. To me, this is Cody Parkey commanding what he feels like his storyline for how things played out should be. Stepping to the mic, stepping in front of the camera, and again, admitting I feel bad for it. It was my fault. I think fibbing or flat out lying that he didn't know it was tipped, because I think you're that close to the moment itself. And maybe there wasn't a lot of volume to the tip, but I do think if not immediately in the moment, immediately after the moment, I do think he knows the ball got tipped. But either way, he didn't even bring that up. The Today Show crew was the one who asked him about it being tipped and whether or not a teammate's at fault too. He completely ignored that, glossed over it, moved on, and blamed himself, took it upon himself again, which is the proper way for a teammate to handle that. But for him to put a human face on where he is right now, I do think himself, his wife going on TV and not saying, "Hey, quit making death threats," but basically just sitting in front of the camera and being a person whose life doesn't 100% revolve around football. I do think it's important for the public to see that in moments. And I do think it puts Cody Parkey in a position where perhaps he's more apt to leave the house and not feel like anybody he sees is apt to take a swing at him at this point, which may have been how he felt before he went on to Today Show and reminded people that he's actually a dude, that he's actually a guy who, as he said, you know, to whatever effect he said,
football's part of his life, not his life.
Yes, exactly. And I think, and you referenced this, that it's important for fans to remember that perspective on it. And to me, that's what a public TV appearance like that does, is that, hey, I'm here, my wife's here, we drive to Florida every year, season's over, we didn't even talk about the game, I'm so disappointed, I let my team down, let the fans down, I feel bad about it, but my life moves on from this moment as well. And I'm still a guy who has a lot of other things going on in my world that don't revolve around this kick that I missed in the game the other day. That's what, to me, I think the focus was, is Cody Parkey taking command of his storyline in a way that he's still admitting he feels he screwed up and he let a lot of people down. But that being said, I'm not just some punchline here. I'm not just some poster on your wall. I'm also a guy who has a life to live and will live it regardless of how you guys feel about me.
Didn't he make that crystal clear, though, right after the game? When his comments
were... Well, yeah, how many people are watching the Bears post-game locker room session, though? A lot less people than are watching the Today Show.
Less people are watching the Today Show, but in terms of, like, he's coming out of his house when he's living in Florida. Chances are that there's not Bears fans everywhere. Bears fans were paying attention to the post-game stuff.
A lot of people watch Sunday Night Football, though.
Yeah, that's right.
Millions of people saw Sunday Night Football. Millions of people watched the Today Show. A few thousand people, let's call it, have looked at the video from his locker room session.
Okay, but it's still out there. Like, if you are seeking anything about Cody Parkey, like, not necessarily average Joe, but if you're seeking anything about Cody Parkey and you're like, whether you're a diehard Bears fan, casual Bears fan, but they're in the playoffs, so you want more information, you want more of the sound for players and everything. Like, that was plenty available.
Yeah.
I don't like the idea at all of, all right, you met the media, great job. Like, hey, I feel like almost sometimes because of like, who was it? Josh Norman a couple weeks ago on Thursday Night Football. He gets in the near fight after the game. I forget who the offensive lineman was with the Titans. They get in the near fight, and instead of going and meeting the press after the game, he
literally turns his back on the media.
He sits in his locker, has his back turned to the media the entire time that a media availability is there in the locker room, doesn't say a word,
not a peep.
And stays away. So there's nothing to be said. Like, Cody Parkey easily could have done that. Easily could have been, I don't want to talk to you guys. I know I missed the kick. What else you want to hear? You want to get the sound bite for the kicker? Whatever.
Want me to like, do the dance, media man? Yeah. He could have been a jerk about it.
Like,
he wasn't.
He wasn't. Okay, it stops there. It ends there. Like, you don't need to keep bringing it up. I think that, not that I thought he would be back as a Bear anyway, because of maybe the money, it's all right. Well, maybe they have one of those competitions in training camp or whatever that they do kicker-wise because of the guaranteed money. Like, I thought that him going on national TV, like, they thought that was like, all right, this is my way of asking out of Chicago. I don't want to be a Bear. And it just makes no sense to me of
I think
how
the exact
Bears
opposite. I think
really?
It makes it even more likely Cody Parkey returns.
Seriously?
I do.
My God. I look at it and I'm like, that's going to be one of the things that's
announced I heard a lot of folks saying it's – I heard a lot of folks even guesstimating that maybe Cody Parkey already knows he's not going to be a Bear, and that's why he was willing to do it. Folks responded to me on Twitter like, well, actually, maybe he's trying to start his post-career as a public speaker or
motivational
guy or whatever. And who knows? I'm not in Matt Nagy's ear. I don't know what Ryan Pace is thinking about the situation. If I'm betting right now, I would bet that Cody Parkey doesn't kick in a regular season game for the Bears again. But I do – and I said this after the game. Folks on the text line lit me up about it. I didn't write it off that Cody Parkey would return then. I even feel like there's more of a chance Cody Parkey returns now, because to me, the path of Cody Parkey, whether it includes the Bears or not, depends on whether or not Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy feel like he can recover from that moment we saw last Sunday night. Or did that end his career as a Bear? Is there no chance that he can sort of suffer through the vitriol from the fans, getting booed off the field, however he feels like his teammates in the locker room perceive him? Can he recover from that and still have a shot at being a successful kicker with Chicago? If they think he's got the mettle to do that, then I think they're going to say, we invest a lot of money in this kid. We think that Cody Parkey has a bright future in the NFL, which a year ago they obviously did because they paid him a whole bunch of money for a kicker to do so. And
kicker just with no range, by the way, in his career historically.
Very limited range. His career long is 54 yards, but that was in optimal conditions. But yes, agreed. His range is limited. But what they will look at, and I think they've spent a week evaluating this, and again, we're going to hear from Matt Nagy about that right here tomorrow during the press conference on 670 The Score. So I'm going to be listening. A lot of the other folks should listen live as well, because obviously Cody Parkey will come up in his evaluation of Cody Parkey and what he's been looking at over the past week. And one of the things he's going to see is, as astronomically phenomenal, remarkable as it is, that he hit the upright six different times this season on field goal misses, you can very easily, Matt Nagy can look at that and functionally say he was missing by inches. So this guy who
misses,
he missed.
That's the point. They're all misses.
It's easy for us to say that's the point.
I get that.
But who else are they getting? Are they going to get some other guy who's just shanking him into the stands? Are they going to keep the dude who they already paid a bunch of money and say he missed by inches, and maybe those inches will go in our favor next season? I'm telling you, that is part of what they're evaluating right now. I do believe that's part of what Matt Nagy will address tomorrow.
Man, this hour brought to you by Menards. Save big money at Menards. God bless Cody Parkey. God bless him. Just God bless him somewhere other than Chicago.
Not as cut and dry as folks are making this, man. It is definitely not. You're evaluating the player. You're evaluating the finances.
I'm evaluating the player. He was no damn good this year.
All these things will factor into it, I'm telling you.
That's Anthony Herron. I'm Nick Szczepkowski. We talk divisional round weekend with Joe Ostrowski next on The Score.
I'm going to continue to just try my best out there.
No, to answer your question, doesn't change a damn thing, Anthony.
But what if the guy wouldn't have blocked it?
What if the kicker kicks it higher so it's not susceptible to being blocked?
He definitely should have done that. That would have helped matters.
It would have at least increased the chances.
Cody Parkey get things fired up around here.
Right. Kickers. I mean, God bless them. They make conversation real easy on a Sunday morning. Welcome back in. It's Nick Szczepkowski, Anthony Herron with you. 670 The Score, 670thescore.com. To discuss the games we saw last night, divisional round, and preview the ones we'll see this afternoon and here on 670 The Score. Chargers and Patriots coverage starts 11:30. Eagles and Saints at 3 o'clock as well here on The Score. To discuss those at length and preview the rest of the NFL playoffs, everything happening as well, we go out to the hotline now. Welcome in the host of our own gambling show here on 670 The Score, Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski, kind enough to join us. He's on each Saturday morning, 8:30 to 9 a.m. Check him out right there. Joe, what's your impressions of the games yesterday?
Well, first off, why are we still upset? We knew when Doug Peterson called that timeout and he made the first one. Did anybody think he was actually going to make the second one?
I
knew it was going to be miss number 11 on the season.
I told everybody in the studio, oh, man, he made the first one. He's not going to miss. He's not going to make this one, is he?
I know.
I'm not upset, okay. Kickers missed. That's fine. That's dandy. Just don't go on the damn Today Show and draw more attention to it 5 days later. Not that hard of a concept.
Pulling that
scab. You didn't
want
to hear from Colleen?
No, I didn't. Not whatsoever. Not for a second. I did not.
My impressions this weekend so far, things have taken a turn a little bit in the divisional round. Going back to last year, underdogs covered 14 of the last 15 games in the playoffs, and you knew it was going to take a turn pretty quick. I wasn't sure if it was going to start yesterday, but that's exactly what happened. Both favorites covering fairly dominant fashion. I mean, the Cowboys made it look pretty. Some people got the push losing by 8 points, but that game was pretty much in hand ever since the possession where the Cowboys took a 7-3 lead. So now the favorites at home, team off the bye, showing you why they earned that bye yesterday, and we'll see if it's going to happen today. The biggest thing that jumps out to me, this is nuts. So people are hearing about how underdogs have been doing great in the playoffs the last couple of years. So they're betting on the underdogs. The sports books need the Patriots and the Saints today.
That's nuts. Like, that's...
It's insane.
I keep looking at this Patriots thing, and I was talking to Campy before we came on the air today as
Sorry.
Well. Hey, I had to talk slow. but the Patriots, it just feels like, I'm not saying they're going to win the AFC, not going to see they're winning the Super Bowl, but it just feels like a get healthy, get right 3 hours and 15 minutes that they're going to put on this afternoon. I get San Diego and everything great about them and how they've been undervalued because they play in the same division as the Chiefs, but it's like, it's still New England, it's still Brady and Belichick, and it might sound extremely basic, but it's still a West Coast team traveling east, playing the early game, and playing in suboptimal temperatures.
Yeah, the travel thing is something that a lot of people are looking at. I think that's been debunked over the last couple of years, and we saw the Chargers do it again last week, as you mentioned, but if you're looking at history, this is easy. The first game's easy for you, and you're taking a look at New England. They're the only team this year that was perfect at home, 11-1 in their last 12 playoff games coming off the bye. And we say Brady's going down. How many more years does he have? Last five playoff games, Tom Brady's 13 touchdowns and one interception. So, and it's weird. It's the smallest point spread of the weekend. We're not used to seeing this at all. I love this Chargers team. I mean, I think they're as balanced as any team left in the playoffs, and I think they're as balanced as anybody this season. But the two big mismatches, first thing I look at in NFL, quarterback, head coach. Well, Brady against Rivers. Rivers 0-7 in the seven matchups against Tom Brady, and then Anthony Lynn against Bill Belichick. Don't really need to say anything else there.
Talking to 670 The Score, Joe Ostrowski here, host of Early Odds. We're talking some gaming on playoff football right here. Nick Szczepkowski and Anthony Harrop. Joe, the over-under on this game that we're leading into here, Shep and I, between the Chargers and the Patriots is 48, as far as I can tell. That, to me, when the weather conditions in Foxborough are expected to be, you know, chilly, I guess, in the 20s, but sunny, no real precipitation, that feels like an overbet to me, no?
I'm not sure.
No?
I can see it being a low scoring game. It might end up being just about right, a game in the low 20s, and it gets close to that number of 48. But I don't think that we're going to see a shootout. The Chargers have a heck of a defense. And Anthony, I think this game is going to be won and lost when the Patriots have the ball, of course. But what I really mean is the pressure with Tom Brady, because that's the biggest mismatch, I think, in the Chargers' favor. It's Joey Bosa, Melvin Ingram getting to an immobile Tom Brady and how much pressure they're going to get there. So, I mean, and as far as the road factor with the Chargers, I actually feel better when they are on the road, even though they're going to Foxborough. They're 8-1 this season. They've won in some tough places. We saw last week in the playoffs at Baltimore. They've gone to Seattle, Pittsburgh, even though they weren't a playoff team this year. Kansas City, they've won at all of those places. And they have a soccer field at home, so there's no real home field advantage for them there. I think this one ends up being a field goal game, and it's probably a coin toss on who wins. I understand if you want to say New England. I get it. I mean, the books in England, we Brady, Belichick, playoffs, cold weather, their time of year, Foxborough, I understand, but I think this is going to be a field goal game, so the point spread is going to be really close.
Yeah, I think the Chargers-wise, you mentioned liking them all year long. I mean, they get stuck with Kansas City in their division, who I think is the story of the year in the NFL because of Patrick Mahomes and 50 touchdowns and everything. But if it's not for that, then the Chargers are one of the sweethearts of America right now. As much as you bring up the Chargers pass rush, if there's one guy that I look to kind of break that, and I get it, the Super Bowls he's lost against the Giants, both of those had great pass rushes, but like they did against the Bears, how many times have the Bears and their great pass rush touched Tom Brady this year? Not that I dislike San Diego's secondary, not that I like their back seven, that I dislike that in any way. Derwin James, hell, I think he should be your defensive rookie of the year, and I think he should be kind of by a wide margin. I love Tom Brady when you try to, when pressure is your best key against him. He gets rid of the ball so damn quick that I feel like even without the elite receivers and elite targets and Gronk not necessarily being Gronk this year, I still trust old number 12 to do what number 12 does.
Yeah, no question. We saw it at Soldier Field, and they know where their own weaknesses are. That's part of the Patriots' strength, their own self-evaluation. And doesn't it feel like it's one of those games, it's that time of the year when James White is going to be involved? Like, we've seen that before in the playoffs where he comes through with a 2 or 3 touchdown game. But, yeah, they know about the mismatches there. So anytime you expect one thing from the Patriots, they're absolutely going to zag the exact opposite way. So they're going to have to win with a quick passing game. I don't think it's going to be a blowout, though. I don't know where you guys side on this. I think it's going to be – this is a game I'm looking forward to the most all weekend.
I agree, Joe. The next game, to me, is one that I'm surprised by the line in the New Orleans and Philadelphia game, Saints by 8.5. And I know they dominated them during the regular season. I would have thought – even if they end up winning by 8.5 plus or whatever, just my assumption would have been that the Nick Foles magic, and they had the upset over the Bears last week, and the perception, you know, Doug Peterson 4-0 in the playoffs and going to New Orleans. I wouldn't have thought that folks would have thought that the Saints would win by a touchdown and a half. Did that line surprise you at all?
Not too much, because Nick Foles doesn't have the respect. Weird as that is, Super Bowl MVP. They go on the road to Soldier Field where the Bears have dominated all season. But in a lot of bettors' minds, he still doesn't get that respect. But people are betting on Philadelphia because they think it's too many points. And then some people are betting on them to win the game outright. And that's the reason that the books need the Saints to cover this point spread today. I mean, when I look at Philadelphia, it's a very tough spot, of course, because this is now their fifth road game in 6 weeks. Very difficult to do. And you just say Nick Foles and people start to look at the Saints side. But Anthony, as you know, you need to start looking at that line play. And look what they did to Khalil Mack last week. And this is a championship team. Fletcher Cox, Michael Bennett on the defensive line and then offensive line. Jason Peters was awesome last week. A lot of people think that he's going to be going to the Hall of Fame. And of course, Lane Johnson. But the matchup on this one for me is you're going to take down the Saints, you're going to need to put up some points. So it's what is Alshon Jeffrey, Golden Tate, killed the Bears last week, Aguilar, going to do against Marshawn Lattimore and Eli Apple down in the Dome? They want to win. I think they've got a chance to hang around. I don't think they're going to win this game. I think the Saints end up winning. But they're going to need to put up some points if they do want to make this ball game.
Speaking with Joe Ostrowski, you can hear him every Saturday morning here on The Score. Early odds, 8:30 a.m. to 9 a.m. each and every Saturday morning, getting you ready for your NFL weekends and all of that. And you'll keep that going even after the NFL season is done. This week, 0-2 to start our road teams. 3-1 straight up, though, last week against it. Read some pieces and some interesting thoughts that are out there in terms of instant replay and more replay has been put into the NFL and in college, that the home field advantage, that number, maybe 3 points, the traditional 3-point idea for being the home team that you get is too many. You have any thoughts or any research that you've done, anything that you found in terms of the home being a home favorite, and is it still worth the same 3 points? Is it as valued as some make it out to be, or is it less now?
Yeah, 3 is the standard. I think when you're talking about this, like today's situation, Foxborough, Superdome, Seattle, Kansas City, Arrowhead, I think when you're talking about some of the great home field advantages, that you could actually bump that up to 3.5. And then you talk about some quiet places like the Redskins or the Chargers, their little soccer field, or even the Rams last night, all the Cowboys fans that you heard. It seemed you didn't know who had a positive play if you were just listening to the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Some places don't. I would say that places like that, it's minimal, maybe a point, but it's certainly not up to 3. And this year, I think Soldier Field was one of the better home fields. I talked to some bookmakers this season and said they didn't hear a crowd louder than what we saw for that Sunday night game between the Bears and the Rams. So we always said, you're right, Chip, we always used to say, well, 3 points for home field, 3 points for home field. It isn't that simple. Some of the great home fields, maybe a little bit more, but it's probably a little bit less for most.
And how about outdoor versus dome? Does that tend to be something where we see more variance in the results of where the money is laid and how the result of that plays out versus, for the smart money versus, where the result actually ends up, if it's an outdoor game versus an indoor game?
Well, I think a lot of people take a look at that when you talk about the dome quarterbacks. Matt Ryan, outside in the cold, you usually don't want to bet on him. There are some people that were on the Chiefs side because they didn't like Andrew Luck and the elements. And even though they went on a long run, they weren't beating quality teams. When they had that 10 of 11 win run, the only playoff teams that they beat over that span were the Texans and the Cowboys, not the best playoff teams that were out there. But as far as playing in the elements, yeah, that goes into it. New England, Foxborough, I mean, that's part of the reason they're favored. And what's interesting about this point spread of the Patriots being favored by 4, what the bookmakers are saying with Foxborough, we mentioned the home field, it's probably 3.5 points. So the bookmakers are saying that if these two teams were to play at Soldier Field today, it'd probably be a pick 'em. They view these teams as being even.
Yeah, that's the San Diego. I mean, it just, I keep going back to it of being, of they happen to be in second place the entire year. But, God, that's 2 years in a row, the second half of the season. They seem to have been playing as good a football as anyone there has been in the entire country, or at least in the entire league. Anyone right now, is there anything of value? We have chalk from the two games yesterday going to the conference championship. Anything of value out there for those looking for a futures bet on a Super Bowl team right now? Anything worth putting even a couple bucks down on?
As far as a futures bet?
It's in terms of Super Bowl this year, yeah.
Okay, no.
Yes.
Honestly, that value's gone once you get to week 17 for the most part. I mean, so what some people do, I'll give you an example. What some people do is, I mean, those lines are just, those futures odds are brought down so much. So you look at the Chargers and where they were entering the playoffs, around 12-1, 13-1, really not all that fair. But you knew that if they were to make a run all the way to the Super Bowl, they were likely going to be underdogs each game. They were underdogs last week against the Ravens. They're underdogs this week against New England. And if they win, they'll be underdogs next week at Kansas City. A smart angle that I've learned is if you know that's going to be the case, you're going to get much better odds if you just bet on them on the money line. So if you bet on them in a money line for the Ravens game, then you win that. Then you take your winnings and your original bet. Then you bet on them in the money line with the Patriots, and you're going to end up winning a lot more money. But as far as value and futures, those are usually long gone by the time we get to the playoffs.
See, that's why you're the pro, even though your name's Joe.
Here's what I need. I need the Chargers and the Saints to win today. That's all I need. That's all I'm asking for. Because before the season, Shepherds, I got them 60-1 in a Super Bowl matchup.
Holy cow. Yeah, wow. you'd be looking to sell that ticket if it does play out that way?
No, I think the Saints are going to the Super Bowl. And if the Chargers can win in New England,
Why can't they win KC?
Kansas City.
They just did, hell, what, four weeks ago?
My chances going against Andy Reid in a big game.
There you go. Joe Ostrowski, host of Early Odds on the Score, 8:30 to 9 a.m. each and every Saturday, breaking down the NFL, breaking down all things, all sports on that from the gambling front. Joe, when the hell is gambling going to be legal here in the state of Illinois?
It's funny. I was talking to someone that's involved in the process yesterday, and they told me that May or June, to pass a bill is not crazy, and it could be up and running by the next time the Bears kick off.
Oh.
There you go. Some good news for you if you're in the investment business. Joe Ostrowski, Early Odds on the Score, 8:30 a.m. to 9 a.m.
It's a good business all of a sudden. We're out of the shadow.
Right. I mean, business is booming, to quote one Steelers wide receiver. No, I mean, it's obviously you drive up and down any highway leading to or from this city, you see plenty of advertisements for all of it. It's already up and running. It just needs to be legalized.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. People actually want to talk to me now. It's really quite odd.
Yeah. Let's not go that far.
Who are you betting on today?
I have just a strong feeling the Patriots thing happens. I can't look past it, not necessarily, but they cover. You have a 5-point win. I just feel like they're going to be in control of that game, not necessarily like dominate it by two touchdowns or anything. I just feel like that's a game that the Patriots are going to control for the most part, and I think that Nick Foles is going to have a wake up call, a rude awakening. Like I hate just picking favorites, picking chalk on this part, but I think the part of it kind of speaks to going back to the favorites. They've had a bad run of late in the NFL playoffs, and I think it starts to even itself this weekend. I mean, or hell, it already did start to, but I think it continues that way today.
For today, I don't know. Some people don't know what teasers are. It's where you can move a line 6 points and you pick two teams. I think a decent bet is taking New Orleans and you tease them down from -8 to -2. And I like then you can move that Chargers line up to 10. So I like the Chargers plus 10. Where are you at, Anthony?
I'm not
allow you to talk about it.
Well, I'm not a betting man. It's not I'm a novice, but as far as just picking the games, I do think the home teams are going to win. I think New England and New Orleans are going to win both games.
Yeah, I could see it. Would make for a bit of a boring weekend, but next weekend really exciting.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Joe, we'll be checking out your work as always on Saturday mornings, 8:30 to 9 a.m. It's the Early Odds podcast as well. All of that and at Joe0670 on Twitter for all of the latest on all of your happenings. Appreciate the time. Enjoy the game today, and we'll do this again soon.
Thanks, fellas.
Thanks, Joe.
Joe Ostrowski, 670 The Score, Early Odds on The Score, like I said, 8:30 until 9.
Yeah, I've never placed a wager on any type of sporting event. When I was younger, I gambled on a basketball tournament amongst friends that I played in myself. Unfortunately, I won. I'm trying to think anything else.
Never done an NCAA tournament pool or anything?
I've not wagered any money. No,
really?
Never put money down.
Never even did an office thing where they got the squares for the Super Bowl and put $10 on.
No, a casino. I don't mind a nice casino at all. I love sitting down at the tables playing some blackjack. But as far as just sports gaming, I've never placed a bet. I may at some point.
See, well, once it's legal, hopefully by July, then
just won't be able to walk out the door without seeing some kind of betting window.
You're gonna be walking into work and be like, you know what? I didn't do. I didn't put in money on that Chargers Patriots game, and I got an extra 20 sitting in my pocket. Here it goes.
You should start a sports book as soon as it's legal.
That's what I should do.
Yeah. A little secondary income.
There you go. Now you're talking. Or it should just be a bookie before it's legal. Bottom of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Don't miss Northwestern Basketball at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this season. Single game tickets are available for Penn State, Rutgers, Minnesota, and Ohio State. Buy now, NUSports.com. Anything we've discussed so far today, you want to chime in, 312-644-6767, whether that's Bears' future, development of the offense, Cody Parkey and his Today Show appearance that Anthony was such a big fan of, just getting him out there and getting him in front of a camera so his life can go on, because God knows it just would not have, right? 312-644-6767, though. Continue to discuss that. Continue to preview the games as well today. As a reminder, you can catch them both right here on The Score. Chargers and Patriots coming your way in about 45 minutes. Eagles and Saints around 3 o'clock when coverage starts. Catch it all right here. No reason to go anywhere else on 670 The Score this afternoon on The Score.
Chris Myers is with Jared Goff. The running game, the offensive line set the tone from the start. Describe that. Was that the process going in?
Yeah, it's incredible what they did today. I mean, we know this defense, and we prepared for it well all week. And what Todd and CJ did this week.
Take somebody's soul. He ain't taking no soul out.
Tolima, excuse the language. He's a little excited.
I'll bleep that one.
Yeah, well,
he's
we're
right,
live.
Though. He's right.
Oh, bleep that one, huh? Akeem Tolib, he lives inside of your head. As the Rams win yesterday, last night against the Dallas Cowboys, they move on to the NFC Championship. That Chris Myers with Jared Goff with Akeem Tolib poking his head in after the game yesterday. Always enjoy that when you get the awkward broadcaster acknowledgement of what's going on behind
apologies him. For the language.
That's right. It's like Tom Brenneman a few years ago when the Bears game kept cutting out. The feed kept cutting out. We just continue to apologize for the technical difficulties that Fox is having. Da-da-da-da-da. The Rams, though, I mean, they looked the part again last night against a defense that has been very solid all year long in Dallas. Had no problem running the ball. They kept running the ball. They continued to run the ball. And as a result, it opened up the passing game enough for Jared Goff to maybe not have his, like, banner night or great night, but a plenty good one. And the Rams are moving on to the NFC Championship game. And they'll play the winner of whoever wins the 3 o'clock game today between the Saints and Eagles. Spoke with Joe Ostrowski about that one a little bit. Like, this is the one I looked at before the weekend. I'm like, if there's going to be a blowout, it's going to be the Saints. Like the Saints get the love because of Drew Brees.
Drew Brees!
Quarterback and head coach that we always kind of look at and dissect, right? It's, oh, where's the biggest mismatches made? Well, you have Brees, you have Sean Payton established. One of them's going on to the Hall of Fame at Canton one day. Sean Payton's had a hell of a career as a head coach. I don't know if Canton, probably a little bit strong. Well, wins another Super Bowl.
Right.
Maybe
yeah.
not. But I look at that, and like that's the one that like jumps off the page at me of like, hey, that's the one that has a chance to be a route. I wasn't expecting what happened to the Colts to happen yesterday, and I was expecting the Cowboys' defense to play significantly better than it did, too. So I feel that way, but I haven't exactly had a track record of success so far this weekend.
When you look back to the regular season where the Saints won by 41 points at home in NOLA over the Eagles, one big factor that, I mean, it feels odd to point it out this way, but I guess at this point, from what we've seen of Nick Foles in the postseason, maybe it shouldn't feel as odd, but, you know, the narrative is turning into Nick Foles has been so good that obviously Carson Wentz is bad. And Carson Wentz is not bad.
No, we've got to
remind
just
people.
Beat up.
Dude was going to be the league MVP last year until he tore his knee up, and he played fine this season. I think I was pointing it out a bit. I don't remember which show it was. Might have been pointing it out to you, but I do think the game plan gets executed differently, gets implemented differently is a better way to
well,
say it.
Well, you might have done it with somebody else, but you definitely did it with me.
Definitely did it
with
Chip. I love doing it with Chip.
There you
so
go.
We spoke about this then, that the vertical passing game of Philadelphia and the way Doug Peterson calls the game is different with Nick Foles. One, Nick Foles is healthy. Both his upper and lower body are healthy as a quarterback. His back is healthy as well. And also, I think they put less of the load of the offense on Nick Foles than what they do with Carson Wentz. They allow Carson Wentz to be in more of a Superman sort of mode, whereas with Nick Foles, they have him distribute the ball around and more of the weapons that the Eagles have on offense, and they do set up some play action opportunities, and he's healthy and he doesn't have the biggest arm in the world, but he's got an arm that's certainly big enough to be able to throw it downtown. He does a nice job throwing it off platform and with defenders in his face. He's, you know, got that kind of courageous thing in the pocket where he doesn't wince when the pressure's on him. He still gets the pass off, and they become more explosive with the passing game with Foles at quarterback versus Wentz. So that regular season game where the Eagles lost by 41 points, Wentz was at quarterback, and Wentz threw three interceptions, and Wentz barely completed 50% of his passes, and Wentz only threw for 156 yards. So with Nick Foles at quarterback, you know, I'd certainly be shocked if they lost by 41 points. I'm still, as I told Joe Ostrowski when we were interviewing him in the last segment, I'm picking New Orleans to win the game.
Mm-hmm.
I do think this is going to be a contest, and I am surprised by the 8.5-point line. Now, in the end, you know, maybe it ends up being where they win by 9 or 10 points or something, but that's, I mean, again, I'm a novice, but 8.5 seems like a really big line for a playoff game, is it not?
Well, I mean, last week, 6.5, that's what people were saying about the Bears. Like, that's a sizable number. It's the biggest number on the board. Look what happened. Eagles go on the road, and no, Mitch Trubisky-led offense is not what a Drew Brees-led offense is. You don't have Alvin Kamara. You don't have Mike Thomas. You don't have any of that. But, yes, I'm with you. 8.5 at this point in the season seems like, man, there's a ton. In a league that, hell, 8.5 in a regular season game, you'd probably get the same reaction of, wow, that's a large number. That'd be on the larger half of the numbers that you'd see on a weekly basis if it's a full slate of 16 games. So I'm a bit surprised, but I'm not surprised at the same time just because I think that people, and I don't know this, off the top of my head, but I would assume that plenty of people tend to bet the whatever happened, like recency bias. Eagles get killed by the Saints earlier this year, 41-8 or whatever it was. Like, people just associate that, oh, the Saints killed them last time, they'll kill them again, and that number has to be larger in order to try to get 50-50 on each side. That would just be my guess. I don't know. Maybe I'm entirely wrong on that, but that's at least my perception of how it would kind of go.
I could 100% be wrong, because as I've said, I've never placed a bet on a sporting event before that I wasn't participating in myself.
Hang out with me. I'm going to get you to have some bad vices.
And just for folks who missed it, the sporting event I participated in myself that I bet on was me in high school and playing in some basketball tournament with friends.
So it wasn't really
I was a pro athlete.
What you really want to say is that you were playing sports for money long before you played college, and
you
all Iowa's wins during your run should be ruled ineligible.
Let's get the NCAA on the case.
That's right. But it seems like something that they'd be ticked off about 20 years later.
They should. Like, they should. I don't know what the statute of limitations is.
Yeah. Like, that seems like something if you were to release a book about the basketball game you won $20 off of when you were in high school.
Especially the Big Ten, too, of all conferences.
Right, yes. The Big Ten would definitely come after me for that years later. So I hit the game-winning shot, too.
Yeah.
Like, it was on the baseline of some dude's driveway down in Bolingbrook. I crossed the guy over. I went baseline, hit a little Jordan-esque fadeaway, fell out of bounds. There were announcers. Like, it was actually the guy's name. Russ Eisenstein is he's the play-by-play of, I want to say, like the Ohio Bobcats now. But we were in his driveway, and there was full play-by-play. He had an analyst there with him. He had a cameraman. It was a full production setup.
There's got to be video floating around somewhere.
Oh, yes, there's got to
be an old VHS
definitely evidence
of a big ant laying down the wood.
Of me fading away out of bounds over some really portly dude and hit the game winner while I was falling out of bounds. I did like the Jordan jump in the air fist pump and everything. You would have thought it was the game 7 of the NBA Finals.
Might as well have been. You won your money betting on yourself. And as a result, Hayden Fry and Kirk Ferentz are losing all their career wins.
They're losing that one win from my junior year when we went 1-10 in Kirk's first season in 99.
Well, they can wipe it from Iowa's history then. That year's off the records. That year's off the books. 1-10's
Sorry, Hawkeye fans. That 1-10 season never happened.
Winning percentage shoots up as a result for
Iowa. Me and Reggie Bush, we're just erased from history. That's right. Heisman
Heisman and you lose your 1-10 campaign. It's Nick Szepkowski and Anthony Herron with you up until 11:30 this morning. Chargers and Patriots comes your way. Then we'll take you up until that next on 670 The Score.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.